You're listening to The Intern Show with Rebecca and Melissa. Well, it's The Intern Show.
Yes, welcome back, everybody, for episode 7. I'm excited for this week. Well, Rebecca, you just came back from England. I just came back from Italy.
We are two world travelers.
Yes, we are.
Back at Connoisseur Media.
Exactly. I feel rested. I feel relaxed. I feel rejuvenated.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I feel those things. I feel tired.
Oh, okay. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow you'll be rested and relaxed.
Yeah.
After a good night's sleep.
I did sleep for 11 hours last night.
I wish I had that.
Yeah. I got home at, 6 o'clock? I was visiting my cousins in England.
Mm-hmm.
They live about a 5-hour drive from London, which is where we were flying out of. So we woke up at 3 a.m. We drove to London, which actually ended up taking 6 hours. And then we made it just in time for our flight. I flew home. It was a 7.5-hour flight. Then we had to take the train back to where I live. And then I got home at 6 p.m., which doesn't seem like too bad, but it was really midnight England time. So I was traveling for like 21 hours.
Yeah.
And then I had dinner and I went to bed. And then I woke up, I came here.
Okay. So funny story. On my way back, right?
Where'd you fly out of?
So I flew out of Milan. So from where I was staying in Camogli for a wedding. So to get to Milan from there, you have to take 3 trains.
Perfect.
So you take the first train's like a 45-minute train to Genoa. Then from Genoa to Milan Centrale, that's like a 3-hour train ride. And then another hour from Milan Centrale to the airport is like another hour.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're on our way on the trains getting there, keep in mind, I woke up at like 5 a.m.
Because
the first train we had to take was at like 6. And then our plane was going to be supposed to go at 1, depart at 1. We are on the train. We get a notification that our flight has been delayed by 1 hour.
All right.
Reason? Don't know why. There's nothing with the weather. New York is fine. Italy is fine.
Yeah. Atlantic, it tends to happen sometimes.
Yeah. So finally we get there. It's all fine. We're waiting at our gate. And then all of a sudden there's an announcement on the overhead. They are moving our gate downstairs. So I've never been like downstairs in an airport before, because usually when you get to the airport, you go up top. So this way, when you board through the gate, you go through that little thing. I don't know what it's called, but you go just directly into the plane.
Tunnel.
You get a little tunnel. So they move us downstairs. So now we're level with like the floor.
Yeah.
With everybody. So I'm like, what are we doing? But anyways, we have to wait like another 20 minutes just to board the gate. And I'm just like waiting. And then we get right past the gate, then there's another like employee there, and he's pulling people for extra security checks. And I'm like, you guys couldn't get this like done with after like we passed through TSA through regular security? Like, why now? I'm like, you're holding up. Like,
something sus is going on.
I know. I just want to get home. Then we pass that. Now we go out onto like the pavement, I guess. And then now we have to board a bus. So we board the bus, and now this bus is driving us all the way to the plane. And if you ever seen like those like celebrity pictures where they're boarding the plane from like the pavement and like they're going up the stairs.
Or like the president.
Yeah, the president, or like sports teams or like that. All that stuff. That's what we were doing. I was like, okay, fun, I guess. So we get onto the plane and then sit down, get our seats all comfortable. Fine, perfect. 20 minutes into the flight, we have those like computer things, right? Mm-hmm. On each seat. They stop working. So the flight attendant.
All of them?
Yeah, all of them. So the flight attendant goes like, hey, everybody, we're just having a problem with our screens. So we're going to reboot them. They should be up in 15 minutes. They were down the whole flight.
Oh, perfect.
I loved the flight. So good. So starting with that story, I have many stories to tell you.
Amazing.
And starting with this week. So.
Well, I would love to chime in for a second because I have a few thoughts related to that. First of all, I found in my recent travels to Europe, in all of my travels to Europe in my life, that the whole taking the stairs up to the plane thing, I guess it's like maybe it's a European thing.
Oh, you've done it before, like there?
Yeah,
For what? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, I've a few times had to climb up the stairs to my plane.
Yeah.
In my layover, because I flew from JFK to Amsterdam and then Amsterdam to England.
Mm-hmm.
And the second flight was a shorter one, and I had to climb up the stairs to get on my flight. So I don't know what's up with that. It's kind of fun when you have to do that when you're landing, because it's like, wow, you're walking right into where you are. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's a little odd. Also, when I was flying home from England yesterday, I was flying JetBlue, mm-hmm. which I've never flown JetBlue before, I don't think.
But what do you usually fly? Delta?
I fly Delta. If I'm going somewhere within the country, I do Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
I've flown a few different airlines in my
Spirit?
Time. No, but I've flown Frontier. Ooh. That's not fun. Oh, I loved Swiss Airlines. That was really nice. So I flew JetBlue. And usually international flights are huge, like the planes mm-hmm. themselves.
Yeah.
It was a pretty small plane for an international flight. They gave us a blanket and also a little pouch with like lotion and lip balm and
Ooh.
Stuff. And I was just in the regular seats. Usually they save that bougie stuff for the nice seats.
Yeah.
But I was pretty excited. The seat was way more comfortable than my flight to England.
Mm-hmm.
I was pumped, ready to go, right? So we start the flight. You can order your meal on the screen. So you got to choose your main course and your sides.
Oh.
It was so nice. I loved it. So I watched Catch Me If You Can on the screen.
So good. Love that movie.
Great movie. And then after that, I was like, let me watch another movie. I decided to put on House of Gucci.
Have you ever seen that before?
I'd never seen it before. Okay. But after learning so much about Gucci when I was in Italy,
mm-hmm.
I was like, let me watch it. Awesome. So I put on first 10 minutes maybe, and then I'm getting tired from all my travels. So I take a little nap. I pause the film, take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
When I wake up, I try to turn my screen back on, nothing. And it wasn't the whole plane. It was
just
my screen.
No.
Trying to turn it on and it's like glitching, nothing's working. I guess I could have asked the flight attendants, but I had already asked them for extra water and I had already asked them for, I was sleeping when they were handing out the snack, so I asked them for a snack. Well, not like, they were still going down the aisle. They had just already passed me and I was like, excuse me, can I please have a hot pretzel? Hot pretzels, awesome.
They had hot pretzels on the
yeah,
plane?
That was we had our meal when we first boarded and then the snack before we landed was either a fruit cup or a hot pretzel. Naturally, I had to take advantage of that, so I did.
What? I'm about to fly JetBlue.
Yeah. So then my screen's not working and I'm all upset. However, another awesome thing about JetBlue is they had free Wi-Fi. And
for
not
everyone?
Just the texting free, whole Wi-Fi is free. So I went on my phone and I loaded up Disney Plus and I watched the newest episode of High School Musical, the musical, the series. So it was okay. And then I took another nap because I couldn't watch anything on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wi-Fi wasn't great. It worked, but it was just taking a while. So then I ended up just plugging my headphone into my dad's screen and watching a show with him. But I was pretty upset because I was excited to watch House of Gucci.
Yeah, you know what you gotta do? You gotta download like shows like from Netflix or like Hulu or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't because I thought I would have the screen. And usually they have got some good movies on board.
Yeah, they did. They actually always have like good picks on
yeah.
board.
It just so happened that my screen
was not working.
Died.
It said no more for
yeah,
you, Rebecca.
So that was kind of sad, but alas, I made it home safely, and I suppose that's all that matters.
Yes, that is all that matters. Last week, when I was alone, I think, yes, on Wednesday, I was
here.
Alone here.
In the office. In the studio.
In the studio, actually. Specifically, this studio that we are in right now.
For context for our listeners, we're usually in a different studio, but every once in a while, we're in this one. This fun little studio. And it's always freezing.
I think it's like 60 degrees in here right now.
Really cold.
Super cold. But anyways, so you weren't here that day. But I was editing our podcast in here. And I think I was editing for like maybe like 40, 45 minutes or so. And then all of a sudden, John, the PD, bursts in. And he goes, are you editing something right now? And I was like, yeah, what's up? And he goes, does it have a female voice in it? And at the time, I was editing like what you were saying
mm-hmm.
at the time. And I'm like, yeah, I'm editing the podcast right now. He goes, you're live.
No.
I was like, huh? So I scoot back. I'm like, I'm traumatized at this point. I'm like, I don't want to touch anything. Don't do this to me. Like, everybody must be playing a joke on me right now. Like, I am on pranked or something. I'm being recorded. I'm being filmed. Then Sean walks in. Sean's like, you're doing this on Adobe, right? And I'm like, yeah, that's the only thing I have up. He goes, yeah, that makes no sense. All the other pods are down, so it makes no sense that for you to be live. So I'm like, okay. So then he leaves, he comes back in, and then he's like fidgeting with the board, and then they can hear me on FM but not AM or some reason. And at this point, I'm like, yeah, I think I'm going to go take my lunch break right now because this is too much for me. So I go on my lunch break. And then I come back and then I'm like, hey, like, Sean, I also see Jesse, the engineer, for everybody that's listening. And he goes, so actually, it turns out you weren't live. There is a cord that feeds from this studio into John's studio. And John just heard audio leaking.
Oh, my God.
And then he kind of freaked out. And I was like, thank you. Because if I was actually live, I would have cried.
Yeah, that was really scary for me to hear just now.
Yeah, so, like, imagine we were in the studio and it actually, like, went live. But, yeah, so that was, like, a little traumatizing fun fact that happened to me last week.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
No, it's okay.
And I'm sorry that happened to John. I can only imagine how terrifying that was,
like,
for him.
Yeah, but imagine for, like, 45 minutes, like, there's, like, a podcast that's just airing
over
on like,
a radio station.
Yeah.
HLI or something.
It was insane. That's what happened to me.
Yeah, that's horrible.
It's all right. It's my little like fun fact party story now.
Yeah, I mean,
like, hey, I was live one time. Not actually, but it's like clickbait. There you go.
Well, speaking of being live, I suppose, in front of an audience. So as I mentioned, I was visiting my cousins in England.
Mm-hmm.
Three of my cousins, they're brothers. They are professional musicians.
Ooh.
They're all in a few different bands, especially my cousin David. He plays the keyboard, and he's in a bunch of bands. He travels around, he plays music, whatever. I visited them three times.
Okay.
The first time was in 2018, where my sister and I were not old enough to go to a pub, so we never got to see them perform.
Mm-hmm.
We went in, and the bartender kicked us out. Oh. She was like, you are not old enough to be in here.
Dang it.
So we went home, never got to see them. Then I visited them in May while I was studying in Italy, and they didn't have any gig that weekend, but they threw a little party at a theater where my cousin Tony does his theater shows, and he's one of the, like, vice presidents of the theater or something. So they rented it out, and they did a little private show for our whole family, which was so fun, so fresh. So then that was just me and my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Now my whole family goes, me and my sister and my parents went this week. So one of the nights we went to a pub where my cousins were performing in their band. We saw them perform. So good. They're very talented. They sounded great. So then they were like, you know what? Let's revive the theater show that they did for us, where they reserve the theater. My cousins play in their band. The whole, all of our friends and family go. They make food. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
The night before the theater show, I'm telling this completely out of order.
Okay.
The night before the theater show, we're hanging out at my cousin Tony's house. And me and my dad and my sister always try to recreate their British accents
because
they have very thick, they're called Geordie accents from Northern England.
Okay.
So we're trying to recreate them. And I made a joke about how my British accent may be bad, but at least it's not as bad as my Kermit the Frog impression. Because and my family have this running joke about how I have a terrible Kermit the Frog impression, but I do it anyway because...
I feel like you got to do it for the podcast now.
Nope, won't be doing that.
Come on.
Thank you. So, naturally, then my family's like, well, you have to do your Kermit the Frog impression. And typically when I do this impression, I only say it for like a second or two, and then everyone's like, okay, well, that was bad. We don't need to hear it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I do just like the Kermit the Frog here. Mm-hmm. And also, you know how he sings the Rainbow Connection?
Yeah.
I sang the first line. Again, I've never had to sing more than the first line of it because it's so bad that no one wants to hear anymore. So we all joke around about it.
Oh, no.
I do my Kermit the Frog impression, whatever. So then we go to the little theater the next night, and they sing a few songs. They play in their band. They say, okay, now we'd like to welcome up to the stage Rebecca.
Oh, I'm like, no. What?
There's probably, I don't know, 40, 50 people or so in the theater. Mm-hmm. I have no clue. But the little theater is full. There's tables everywhere.
But it's all your family and stuff.
Well, it was my family, but also their friends that a lot of them I'd never met. And only like 8 of them had heard my impression from the night before. So they're like, Rebecca's going to sing the Rainbow Connection. I'm like, what? So I go up there and how could I refuse?
It's your chance.
So I pull up the lyrics and I start singing Rainbow Connection in my Kermit the Frog impression.
First of all,
didn't know any of the words. I'd never sang or I don't think even heard the whole song before.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, I don't know how the melody goes because I've never sang the whole song before. There's a backtrack going, but so my sister's like guiding me through it. And then I'm thinking about how half the people in that room had no clue what I was doing. And I'm just singing Rainbow Connection in my Kermit the Frog impression.
Mm-hmm.
And It was quite the moment. My family said that my impression actually started getting a little bit better, but
still bad.
Bad enough that I shouldn't be doing it in front of an audience.
Understandable.
And yeah, I can't believe I did that. So that
You got guts. You got guts.
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't have been able to not do it once they called me up on the stage.
Well, you can't just like sit back down.
And the thing is, I suppose it's better to sing on stage doing my terrible impression than actually try to sing a song.
Yeah.
Because at least in my impression, you know, everyone knows it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I were actually going up there to sing a legit song, it would be a bit more intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a round of applause. I got some cheers. My cousin Tony and his wife Sarah and my sister sang background vocals for me because
iconic.
They knew the song and I didn't, so they were helping me out. But yeah. So that was what I was doing in England.
You had a gig. Your first gig.
My first gig.
There you go.
Yeah, it was fun. I did that. Me and my sister sang an Irish song. My dad went up and played the drums for a song.
Mm-hmm.
We all had our shining moment. So.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, it was good.
So we got to plan your next gig. Maybe here at the studios?
I mean, maybe.
Yes. Maybe at our little going away.
Yeah. We could have a going away celebration and there it'll just
be you and your Kermit.
And, and I'll sing Kermit. And do you have any good impressions?
I have zero good impressions.
Okay, well, start practicing.
Oh my God. Okay. Maybe I'll be like Miss Piggy or something.
Yeah, that was what Tony did when I was on the stage. He did some little ad-libs as Miss Piggy.
Iconic, though.
Mm-hmm. We have a whole video of it, but I haven't watched it.
It's like, Okay, so I have another story.
Perfect.
On my way to Camogli, right, from Milan, I took the worst train ride I've ever had in my life. So when you think like train, standard train, like LIRR.
Classic.
Nice, classic, air conditioned, nice seats, not too dirty. Perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, standard. So on this train, it was like an old school train. Like it hadn't been updated. Like, when you go to Italy, there's, like very nice trains.
Yeah, usually there. Italy has really nice trains.
Yeah, but this train, it was absolutely terrible.
Oh.
So, get on the train, starts going. It's not too bad, but there is no air conditioning.
Mm.
Everything is windows. So, like...
Open windows?
Yeah, like, open windows.
Oh.
So, like, have you ever seen Hereditary?
No.
Okay. So, I don't know if anybody has seen Hereditary, but... Nobody stick their head out the window, okay?
Because, oh, God.
I can
infer what happens from there.
Yeah, but anyways, that did not happen on the train, thankfully. But anyways, there's these big open windows in each, like, section of seats. And then the train is packed. Like, every seat is taken. There are people standing in the aisles and everything. So, like, you can't move. It's just hot. It's sweaty. The train mm-hmm. is going. There's no airflow. There's no wind flow. There's nothing. Nothing's happening. Like, the air is stagnant.
Ugh.
So this train ride is 3 hours long.
Mm.
But as we're going, since the train is moving so slow, because the wind, I guess, it's, like, not allowing it to go faster because it's just passing through the train, the train ride turns into a four-hour train ride.
No.
I wanted to cry my eyes out because it was just so hot, like... I was trying not to go to sleep. I fell asleep like twice.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a lady next to me. There was this other guy. This other like lady from like two rows behind me, I guess. She climbed over into like our section and like pulled our window down for some reason. I don't know why. Invasion of my like personal space. Like, stay away.
Yeah.
Why don't you just pull your own window down? I don't understand. But this train ride was the worst thing I've ever experienced in like my history of train rides. So... honestly, glad I don't have to experience that ever again.
Yeah, I'm sorry that happened to you. No. Especially because, as I said, the trains in Italy are usually very nice.
Yeah, I've been after that. Like, I went on like some really nice trains. Like they had like the double decker ones
mm-hmm.
where you climb up and all the way around with nice AC. They had screens and stuff. But whoever like I don't know why that train that I went on is still like in existence because it needs to be like taken off the tracks.
Yeah, that sounds pretty terrible. The thing about the trains in Italy is that usually the seats are reserved.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time when you go on the train, you have your seat selected. You usually have to pay, what, 2 more euros to get your seat reserved?
Yeah.
And then because of that, you have no problems. You get there, mm-hmm. you're sitting next to someone you know. Sometimes they have chargers in the seats. They've yeah. got room on top to put your suitcase or your backpack and whatever. So normally, that's not an issue. However, once in a while, I guess you get one of those old trains. There was one train I went on that sounds very similar to yours. I can't remember for the life of me where I was going.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember that there were no seats. And the train ride was a couple hours long. And so my friend and I had to stand the whole time. And then we had a layover. A transfer. And the first one was delayed, so we were about to miss our second train home because we were going back to Florence.
Mm-hmm.
And so the six of us who went are sprinting because the train station we were in had 2 terminals, like a north and a south.
Okay, so it's like a small
train. It's probably like a half mile
mm-hmm.
between the two, and we had like 2 minutes until our next train left. We were leaving Verona, I think, and we're sprinting. We're drenched in sweat by the time we're on the second train. It was like an experience that sounds comparable to yours in how mm-hmm. miserable it was.
I don't wish that upon anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's terrible. It's miserable. Mm-hmm. Nobody should have to go through that at all.
Yeah. When I was leaving Italy in May and I went to visit my cousins in England,
mm-hmm.
I was with 2 of my friends, and what we did was we flew to Edinburgh, which is in Scotland. Then we took the train down to England.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed there for a few days, took the train back up to Edinburgh, were in there for a few days, and then flew to Dublin for a few days. And so we flew to Edinburgh. We had our train booked for whatever time.
Mm-hmm.
So we got off our plane, took a bus into the city center. We stopped. We had dinner. It was very nice. We had great vibes there. We were like, this is awesome. Love it. And now we're going to England to see Rebecca's family. Going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get on the train, and the train was pretty nice. They were the ones that are in, like, they're, like, 4 seats, and there's a table.
Ooh, okay. Yes.
And then there's an outlet, and it was very mm-hmm. nice. We get on. Awesome. There's an announcement. The train's a little delayed. Okay. We hear nothing about when it's going to leave, whatever. Long story short, there was someone at one of the train stops sitting on the roof of the train station.
And they wouldn't get off.
And they wouldn't get off. And had they fallen onto the tracks, they would have gotten, I guess, electrocuted. Mm-hmm. So they had to cut all power from the train lines. So none of the trains could move. So we couldn't even get on a different train.
No.
3 hours of sitting on the train before we even left Scotland.
That's
3-hour delay.
I'm
then
so
they
sorry.
Put us on another train. We ended up making it. So it was all good, but that was terrible. I was like, had I known, we would have been sitting on there for 3 hours. We would have gotten off and went and, you know, gotten dinner, went and done something,
mm-hmm.
sat around, walked around, explored. So that was my worst train moment, I think.
All these terrible train moments.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs to fix their public transportation.
Yeah.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I have any more, like, Italy fun traveling stories. What's your next one?
We had spoken in, I want to say, week 2 about
Ooh,
is a hot dog a sandwich?
Yes.
Was that week 2?
That is week 2.
And we talked about a chip butty.
Oh, yes, the chip butty.
Trying to pronounce it in my English way because my cousins are like, curry chip butty.
Oh, okay.
But I tried one. And it wasn't like a regular chip butty, which is just a sandwich with fries or chips on it.
And
but
ketchup.
A curry chip mm-hmm. butty is a sandwich with chips or french fries on it and a curry sauce.
I think it's growing on me now.
Yeah. Like, I showed you a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if you're listening. You can look one up, though. It looks pretty nasty. It looked mushy. It looked gross.
It's just like yellow.
However, I didn't get my own. I got fish and chips with a curry sauce.
Mm-hmm.
But my cousin had one. The curry sauce is phenomenal. It was so good.
What kind of curry sauce?
It's not spicy in the slightest. It's more of a sweet curry sauce. I don't even know how to explain to you what it was, but all I know is that if I could take home gallons of it, I would have. But I think that's also illegal. because of customs and whatever. But I would have if I could.
This, I'm looking at like the food right now. It's kind of like making me really hungry.
It's so good.
Like,
and it also has, I think, a little bit of butter on it also, like on the bread, but I'm not sure.
Ooh.
All I know is that,
oh yeah, I see like a little butter, I guess.
All I know is that it was great, and so were the fish and chips. The fish and chips there are like one of the best things I've ever had in my life.
It's like the Chip Buddy, it just honestly just looks like a struggle meal to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you ever had, I think,
a struggle meal?
My go-to struggle meal is I'll get like a slice of bread, I'll toast it, I'll put butter on it, and then I'll have like, I'll mix like some sugar and cinnamon.
Oh, and a little cinnamon toast.
Yeah, cinnamon toast. And that's my struggle meal.
Your struggle meal. What do you define as a struggle meal?
Like, you got like no ingredients. Like, this is like a quick go-to. Like, it'll fill you up, but like,
oh,
is it actually like a meal? Like,
probably
Chip
not.
Buddy. Well, like, I had like leftover fries from McDonald's, like threw it on like a sandwich, put some ketchup on.
Yeah.
Chip Buddy. Struggle meal.
That was actually when I was in England, as I keep saying. One morning, my cousin had, I don't even know what it was. He was like whipping up some breakfast, and it was bread. I don't even know if it was toasted. And it had spaghetti on
it. On the bread? Like,
on the bread?
Like,
and also, what was the other? I have to look because I took a picture of it because it was cracking me up.
Like cold cuts? Like
no.
Sandwich bread?
It's two pieces of open-faced bread. Oh, some bacon and then like spaghetti with tomato sauce. It was giving very much guy in his 20s, like college kid who...
Yes.
Like my friends in college, I always make fun of their fridge because they have nothing but sauces and eggs in there.
Yeah.
That would be what they would make as a meal each day probably.
That sounds so like, terrible. I could understand, like, maybe, like, a different type of bread. Like, maybe they got, like, a
nice ciabatta.
Yeah. Something like that.
Sourdough.
Yeah. But not, like, sandwich bread with the spaghetti. Because now it's just me soggy.
Mm-hmm. And
It's not it.
And I don't know if that's something that people eat in England or if it was just, like I said, a 20-something guy who...
His struggle meal.
It's a struggle meal. I'm trying to think of what my struggle meal would be. Usually in my house at home, college is different. Even if we have nothing, we have enough ingredients for me to make a quesadilla. Just straight up tortilla, cheese,
there
maybe some refried beans.
Mm-hmm.
If we're out of tortillas, then I just literally shredded cheese on chips.
Oh, okay.
Like Tostitos and melt it.
But understandable. I feel like we should ask people what are their struggle meals like around the office?
And then reconvene and discuss
them.
Reconvene,
yes. Like, write it down.
Let's do it.
We need some interviews in here.
We'll be back. And we're back. We just went through the office and we interviewed
a lot of people.
Quite a few of our coworkers.
Our peers,
our superiors, and ask them what their struggle meals are.
Let's start with Jesse. This is like a staple in American households. It's just simply the hot dog.
Yeah. And you know what? I think it makes sense, especially he has a daughter. And when I was young, I was eating hot dogs every meal. So I understand that he probably has
tons of them
in his house. I mean, easy to heat up if you throw them in a pot, throw them in the microwave.
Well, yeah, there's so many like different ways to cook it. Like, well, you could have it on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
Classic.
Yeah.
You could boil a hot dog. And if you're feeling really lazy, you can microwave a hot dog.
And I think the struggle meal is the boil or the microwave. Whereas when you throw them on the grill, I mean, that's not struggle.
That's more effort.
You're heating up the grill. You're getting the bun and the ketchup and everything.
That's the whole barbecue.
Yeah, that's a barbecue in itself. So I can understand. And a few other members of the office also did mention hot dogs as a good struggle meal. So I understand. The one that I think cracked me up the most was Leanna's. She said, just a straight tortilla.
She doesn't heat it. It's just straight from the package.
Yeah, she said.
She folds it up and just takes a bite.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah, she was like, oh, I ate a tortilla for breakfast this morning.
That's
just
it.
Plain tortilla.
I could not.
Yeah, I don't
maybe
think
if it was
either.
Warmed up, a little toast action,
mm-hmm.
then I could be like, okay, I understand.
Suppose.
But just like room temperature tortilla.
Yeah. She also said a toast with butter.
Okay.
Which is a little more mainstream struggle mm-hmm. meal, but just a tortilla. That
butter,
was,
that
jam. That was cracking me up.
Just got it all.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like there were a few people who had struggle meals that required a little more effort.
Yeah, that so I wouldn't necessarily consider
struggle meals, but we'll include it.
Yeah.
So, well, we have Louise.
Mm-hmm.
She has a tuna fish salad sandwich.
Yeah.
Well, she said she has a bunch of tuna fish at home.
Yeah, she said she's always got the tuna fish cans on deck.
Yes. But I think it's just that would require so much effort from me because now you got to open the can with the can opener,
mm-hmm.
put it in like a bowl or something, put like mayo with that to mix
yeah.
it up, add all the other ingredients to make a tuna fish salad, and then you got to like toast the bread or if you want
bread.
It. And then.
You know what I'll say? Is for a college student,
mm-hmm.
that's like a gourmet meal.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
If I went to my guy friend's townhouse and they were making mm-hmm. tuna fish salad sandwiches, I would be so impressed with them.
Exactly.
However, at my house at home, I think that is a struggle meal.
Mm-hmm.
We've always got, you know, we don't always have tuna fish cans. That's not really our vibe. But we've always got hard-boiled eggs on deck.
Yes.
Same thing. So if I don't have any good food in the house or I'm struggling to figure out what to make, I'll whip up some egg salad quick and throw it on bread. So I can understand where she's coming from, where
mm-hmm.
it's quick, it's relatively easy. You've always got the ingredients. I mean, every American household always has mayo, always has salt and pepper, always
yes,
has bread,
true.
You know? So I can understand how yeah. that might be something quick and easy to heat up.
It's not like you're preparing like steak or something
yeah.
where you're like marinating the meat,
mm-hmm.
you're putting in the oven or something.
Yeah, the only appliance you're using is the toaster
yeah.
to make the bread. You don't need
okay.
an oven, you don't need anything like that.
I understand. So quite a few people also said that pasta is the way to go for their struggle meal.
Yes, a lot of people were talking about pasta.
One honorable mention I want to say is stew.
Mm-hmm.
Because Stu says he makes it in the microwave.
Yeah. He said, I don't cook anything unless it's in the microwave. He said he'll cook the pasta
yeah.
in the microwave, which I've seen
mm-hmm.
online. He'll cook the chopped meat in the microwave, and he'll mix those two with red sauce,
and then
which is a pretty good go-to meal.
I feel like it's really filling.
Mm-hmm. I think that's like a nice, easy thing to make.
True, true, true.
It's probably a little bit more time-consuming making the pasta in the microwave.
It yeah, I feel like it would take longer than making it on the stove.
But also,
does it not?
Maybe if you're just making a personal size portion, it probably won't take too long, actually.
Mm-hmm.
One shout out I have to give is to Stevie. He was like, I don't have a struggle meal. He said, mm-hmm. I'm ordering Uber Eats.
Yes.
And so we kind of had to get his struggle meal out of him and say,
we
no,
have
Stevie,
meet.
The Uber Eats app is down. You don't have that option. You can't go get something. You
mm-hmm.
have to make something in your house. He was like, you know what? I'll whip up a frozen Ilio's pizza.
So good.
That is a staple in my household
as well.
I
feel like Ilio's pizza, it's underrated. I feel like when
mm-hmm.
people think of frozen pizza, they think like DiGiorno.
Yeah, I don't like DiGiorno.
DiGiorno?
I'd much mm-hmm. prefer an Ilio's.
And Ilio's is so good.
And you could cut them into, we cut them into little strips.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just grab as many or as little as you want.
Yeah.
We heat them up for the family. I think it's a great option. I really do. I've gotten on the frozen cauliflower pizza wave
mm-hmm.
lately, but that's a little less struggle. It's still very quick. I get the frozen cauliflower pizza crust,
mm-hmm.
canned tomato sauce, just pour it on,
ooh.
And then some shredded mozzarella. Very easy. Again, toaster oven, 10, 15 minutes.
So, like, you buy, like, the dough, or, like, it's just, like, frozen pizza crust thing?
Yeah, it's, like, almost a frozen DiGiorno or something like that,
mm-hmm.
but it has no toppings.
Okay, so it's just plain.
So it's just a round frozen cauliflower pizza
mm-hmm.
crust.
Okay.
Makes me feel a little better because it's a little healthy. We've got
mm-hmm.
a vegetable in there.
Yeah.
And it tastes delicious.
Okay. I've never
tried. I get
tried.
The little
yeah.
tiny, you know the tiny cans of tomato sauce?
Yes, the little like mini
yep.
ones.
Open it up, pour it right on, sprinkle a little Italian seasoning I've got.
Mm-hmm.
And then I prefer the fresh mozzarella, shredding
mm-hmm.
it myself. I think it tastes better.
Oh, definitely.
But lately we've been buying the pre-shredded mozzarella because it lasts
mm-hmm.
longer in the fridge. Sprinkle some on, toaster oven, 400 degrees, 10 minutes, and it's done.
Okay, okay. Side note, I don't know, because you were talking about mozzarella.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had burrata?
I have.
What are your thoughts?
I don't know.
You don't like it?
I don't dislike it. Mm-hmm. I had it a lot in Italy, mm-hmm. as you know, it's a very Italian thing. And I actually, the best thing I had was, back to pizza, a pesto pizza with a big burrata in the middle.
Ooh, okay.
I like the flavor. I like mm-hmm. it. However, I don't love the outside of it.
Okay.
I feel like it's a little pulley almost.
So.
I don't know how to describe what I'm thinking.
Not a struggle meal, but what I do, if I have some burrata on hand,
Burrata on hand?
If I go to like the store on the weekend.
That's impressive.
And then like I'll make this for the week because like when you buy it from the store, there's like four in the container.
Oh, so we're meal prepping here.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So I'll get like the sourdough, like loads of bread. Like I don't know what other kinds of breads there are. I'm not a bread connoisseur. Basically, I'll toast that. I'll get tomato paste and butter and I'll mix it.
Mm.
And I'll put like salt and pepper. And then I'll take that and I'll put it on top of the toasted bread.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll sprinkle some salt and pepper on there. And then I'll take a burrata. I'll like rinse it in warm water so it's not like freezing cold. And then I'll cut the middle of it, spread it out kind of over the bread, and then drizzle some olive oil over it.
That is beautiful.
So good.
That's like the Italian equivalent of an avocado toast.
Yes. So good. You got to try it.
That sounds phenomenal. My mom has a garden in our backyard, so mm-hmm. she grows a lot of herbs, basil, stuff like that. So she makes homemade pesto.
Ooh.
And it is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love it. Sometimes she mixes it with butter and makes like a pesto butter, or sometimes she just leaves it as is. And something we do is we'll toast like a sourdough or a loaf of Italian bread, something mm-hmm. of the sort, spread the pesto on, then put slices of mozzarella,
mm-hmm.
throw it in the toast. We're a big toaster oven family.
Okay.
Throw it in the toaster oven, just a few minutes until the cheese melts, the bread is a little crispy.
Mm-hmm.
Great appetizer before dinner.
That sounds so good.
It's so good.
Do you have an air fryer?
I do, but I don't really use it at home. Mm. I only use it at school.
Yeah, I just got an air fryer, so, like, I want to make more stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you can make, like, a lot of so many things in an air fryer.
Yeah. Shout out to my roommate, Emma, at school. She lives with that air fryer. She does everything with it. And something she taught me to make is pork. Mm-hmm. Is it a pork tenderloin? You could get it for, like, $6, and it's a big, long...
We should...
It must be a pork tenderloin, because that's what I'm seeing online right now.
I mean,
you could go to like Stop and Shop or I don't know, your supermarket of choice
mm-hmm.
and get a little like pork tenderloin for just under $10.
Okay.
And it lasts me a couple meals.
Ooh.
And you just throw it as mm-hmm. is because you get the pre-seasoned ones, mm-hmm. obviously. Throw it in 20 to 25 minutes in the air fryer and it's cooked to perfection.
Ooh.
Then she finishes. She takes it out. She lets it, you know, cool and finish cooking on the cutting board.
Mm-hmm.
Then we just throw some vegetables back in the air fryer. 5 minutes, done. Easy meal. Highly recommend.
Innovation. Innovation at its finest.
Innovation that excites, as they say.
There you go.
Okay. So back to these struggle meals. Big Mike had... we talked to him for probably, what, a half hour? He was telling us about how he just really has no food in his house ever.
If there's food, he's going to eat it or it's just going to sit there.
Yeah, so he said he just doesn't buy food.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't keep food in the house. He said when you go to a house that has, you know, a pantry full of stuff, that mm-hmm. is not his house. He said in his fridge you will find a Brita filter and some seltzer.
That's it.
And that's it. So then we were like, okay, well then, you know, what's the struggle meal?
Mm-hmm.
And after a long story about his eating habits and, you know, what he keeps in his house and
mm-hmm.
or lack thereof, he settled on, I mean, his struggle go-to is cereal. Cocoa Krispies. Captain Crunch peanut butter.
Yes.
What was
Captain
the other
peanut
one?
Butter crunch.
Yeah, Captain Peanut Butter Crunch.
I think those are the main cereals.
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to have him on for a week and just...
He has so many good stories.
He does. He has endless stories. I love talking to him.
Yeah.
He's got so many fun things to mm-hmm. tell.
He's done so many things mm-hmm. in his life.
He's also a big Subway guy.
Yes. Subway week. So, other than Big Mike, our last... struggle meal is my favorite one. So Tommy
was telling us all about his family's
struggle meals.
Yeah.
And his own. So let's start with his struggle meal is it's not an egg sandwich, it's not toasts.
He made that very clear to
us. So it's a piece of bread that you toast, but you're putting one slice of cheese and one egg and that's it.
Yeah,
it's not toast, it's not an egg sandwich.
It's not a bacon, egg and cheese.
Yeah.
It's not an Eggs Benedict. He's making very clear. It's toast with a slice of cheese and one egg.
Yes.
I think that's a great struggle meal. It's quick and easy.
Mm-hmm.
It probably tastes pretty good.
Yeah.
I'd throw a little salt and pepper on there if it was me.
Yeah. Maybe, like, I'll put, like, a little hot sauce.
Oh,
hot sauce
action. Yes. For sure.
So good.
I think that's a pretty good struggle meal. Mm-hmm.
So, Tommy was also talking about his mother, her struggle meal when she was a child that her grandmother made for her.
I believe, yes.
Basically, she would come home and she would eat rice and sauce. And that's it. It's not like pasta with sauce. It's rice with sauce.
Which I think is so interesting because I feel that pasta is so much easier to make than rice.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure rice, I mean, buying in bulk, you could get a lot more rice for way less of a price. So I'm sure that's why. But rice and sauce.
Interesting.
It sounded crazy to me at first, but it starts to make more sense when I think about, you know, like a stuffed pepper recipe or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you make like a stuffed pepper with like chopped meat, rice,
red
sauce, some onions, some peppers, then it kind of makes sense.
I understand that. Okay, so this is the best struggle meal I've ever heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from Tommy's sister a while back. So she would take the ends of a loaf of bread, the heels.
Which I'd never heard it called a heel.
Yeah, me either. But the ends that nobody wants. And then the leftover grease from cooking bacon in the pan. And she would dip the bread heels into the grease and eat it like that.
I love it. I love that.
It's iconic, but I feel like it's just going to end in disaster one day.
Yeah, high cholesterol waiting to happen. I think my grandpa, when he makes bacon, he saves the grease and he like puts it in a container where it kind of like hardens.
Mm-hmm.
And then he uses it when he's cooking other things instead of like an oil.
Mm-hmm.
Which again, less healthy, but great flavor profile.
Yes, it's true. Okay, so I think that ends like our struggle meal segment, but
I
don't even know what we were talking about before this struggle meal.
It feels like ages ago.
Yeah. Have you ever like had pizza rolls? Like the
Have I ever had pizza? What kind of question is that?
So good.
I love. Do you get the regular or the pepperoni?
I get the combo.
Oh.
So I can have a little bit of both.
I love that.
Yes, so good. What other like childhood snacks do we like?
Well, I love frozen appetizers.
Okay.
My family, we watch a lot of TV together. Mm-hmm. And sometimes for, like, special occasions or maybe the finale of a season, we'll have a big appetizer kind of thing for our TV watching. So we do mozzarella sticks. We do taquitos. We do pizza rolls.
So good.
We do mini quiches. We do potato skins are, like, my favorite.
Potato skins?
Sometimes we get, like, a fried ravioli.
Yeah.
Spinach and artichoke dip. I mean, the list goes on and on, really.
Okay.
I love a good frozen appetizer. Chicken wings.
Oh, my God. I used to get, like, the huge bag from BJ's of buffalo, like, wings.
Yeah.
And then, like, when I would come home from school, I would just, like, pop those into the oven, the toaster oven real quick, take them out, demolish them.
I love that.
It was so good.
Yeah. Do you remember when we were little, oh, my God, I'm yawning again. What is happening?
Okay.
And I had coffee today, too.
It's the coffee.
Maybe. Maybe that's the trick. Maybe I'll have more at lunch, or I don't know. They're not fries, and they're not tater tots. Mm-hmm. They're like potatoes shaped as smiley faces.
I've seen those, but I don't think I remember ever having them.
What? I loved those as a child. I saw them when I was in Italy, but they were like Mickey Mouse shaped ones. They're so good.
Those
look
so good.
And they taste great. You dip them in a little ketchup. Mm-hmm. Oh, those were awesome.
My friends, we have like our designated spot that we go to like for dinner every once in a while, and it's called Lindenhurst Diner.
Okay. It's just a friendly neighborhood diner?
Friendly neighborhood diner. This diner has a lot. It has a vegan menu because one of my friends is vegan.
Very inclusive.
But there's like so many vegan options on it, so it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But this diner has curly fries.
Huh.
And these curly fries are like, I feel like they're the best fries I've ever tasted. Because they got like a little seasoning on them. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. And I usually get it with like a Cuban sandwich. And it's so good. Or sometimes I'll have it with a burger.
Love curly fries. When I would go skiing when I was younger, mm-hmm. there was, we would go to Chimney Peak in Vermont.
Okay.
And they had a little cafeteria area where you could kind of sit, take a break. That's where my mom and my aunt would stay the whole day because they didn't ski. But we'd go, and for our lunch, we'd just get the big cups of curly fries. And you can never go wrong. When they have them in my school cafeteria, too, I'm there easily.
I feel like you're the curly fries number one fan. You're the president of the club.
I mean, yeah, I did actually found their fan club, so.
Okay, maybe maybe I'll apply for VP.
Perfect. We have an opening.
Yeah, thanks.
On that note, do we have any last food items? It suddenly became a food week again.
I know.
This always happens to us.
We love food. Okay, I saw this on Twitter the other day. Pretzels.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many ways you could have a pretzel.
Yeah.
What's your favorite pretzel shape?
Are we talking about just the ones that come in a bag, or are we including hot pretzels as well?
We can include hot pretzels because you got like the iconic like New York hot pretzel, but you also have like the Auntie Anne's pretzels. Okay.
Auntie Anne's pretzel nuggets when they're fresh.
Okay.
They're warm. They're buttery. They're delicious. I love the caramel dipping sauce.
Ooh.
That's my go-to.
Okay. So I'll put my favorites for in both categories.
Of course.
So if we're talking about like hot pretzel, like Auntie Anne's, for example, I'll get like the big pretzel with, I think it's like almonds on it or something like that. It's like cinnamon almonds, something like that. That's so good. I love it.
I'll have to try that.
Yeah. It's amazing, like when it's fresh. And then if we're talking like hard pretzels, like you buy at the store, then I love the pretzels with like the grid on it. You know what I mean?
The little square ones. Oh, I love those, yeah. Like the checkers board almost.
Yes, so good. Yeah. When I was little, I used to like bite it to make a shape.
Mm-hmm.
It would be so good.
Yeah, I'd say hard pretzels are, I love the pretzel crisps. The chip ones, the thin ones. I love those.
Mm-hmm.
Great flavor profile. Really great for dipping if you like hummus or like a cream cheese dip, stuff like that. So great. Highly recommend. And they have chocolate covered ones too, which are good.
So honorable mention, I also, like my favorite pretzel when I was little would be like the honey
twists.
The honey twist pretzels. So good. Underrated. I never hear people talking about it enough.
I agree.
Maybe it should be the mascot for pretzels.
I completely agree. All right. On that note,
I think,
what better way to end?
Yes.
Than to talking about our favorite pretzels.
So that's a wrap for week 7, everybody. We are excited to see you next week.
Bye. Bye.